Good morning, everyone. Nice to be here on a nice, wonderful day. Before I get started, I have a couple of requests from everybody, and that's around the sound. The sound crew is, you know, works very hard. We actually have a tough haul here. I didn't know much about sound, but now they've got a little more involved. There's a lot more to sound, and there's definitely people who know a lot more about the sound in the congregation. So I just had a request that if you think the sound's bad, more than likely they know it's bad too, and that instead of having four or five people all go back and tell them that the sound's bad, I think I counted four people one time, and usually my wife's the first to tell me the sound's bad. So we're asking if you would like to, if you do have an issue with the sound and you think we don't know about it, just let me know and I'll try to go back there and talk to them, because they have four or five people, and I think everybody's well-intentioned, and there's definitely people who have a really good ear for sound, so we appreciate that if you do help us out. But it's a little tough trying to get four or five requests back there. If I'm not there, Bob Callens probably is a good second person to go to if you do think the sound's not working for you. We actually had three speakers here today, so we're seeing that works better. We're actually in a very tough hall, so, and we appreciate the work. We have three different crews, and each crew swapped out, so we have a slightly different approach, which we don't try to standardize on that, but we appreciate your patience with the sound if it doesn't quite work out for you at that very moment, and let us try to fix it. So the Holy Spirit, as you know, was given on Pentecost, and it was given to those who were repented and baptized. It actually was initially given to everybody, and eventually they were baptized and repented. And it's called a gift, and Jesus Christ actually refers to the Holy Spirit as a helper. And it helps in many, many ways. And I don't know, as we're going towards Pentecost, which does signify the giving of the Holy Spirit, I thought I would just focus today on how the gift of the Spirit opens our eyes of understanding to comprehend three areas of wisdom and revelation of God. Because the Holy Spirit is a helper. And I think many of us who have maybe been in the church or been baptized, and some of you have been baptized for going on 40 years. I think we have someone maybe 50 years. I think it's good to remind ourselves of just how the Holy Spirit does help us. I can remember clearly, because I grew up in the church and, born in the church, just like some of the children here, and you hear this, you go to church every week and you hear the services and the messages. And so you definitely, in a way, you know the truth. And then I went to Ambassador College, and you're pretty much 7 days a week, you're studying the Bible and taking classes, and so you're really involved in the Bible, and so you have a lot of knowledge, you know, that was coming down. And I can clearly remember going to the feast my sophomore year, and being baptized for the feast, and coming back to class, and just hearing things in a whole different way. And maybe you experienced that if you were called into the church at an older age. Things just clicked. Things I heard before all my life, like, that makes sense. And even now I go through the Bible and see scriptures that I know I've gone over many times, and I still see it. Like, I wonder if I've read this before, and it's a new experience. And that's the Holy Spirit as a gift and how it helps us understand things. So the things I want to focus on today, though, are found in Ephesians 1. And Paul outlines three distinct things or attributes that the Holy Spirit helps us understand, that if we didn't have this, we would not understand, and how it's a helper to us. So Ephesians 1, if you'd like to turn there with me. I'm actually going to read from my notes because I have it, I cut and pasted in my notes today. So Ephesians 1. In verse 15, and this is Paul speaking, it says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." I think Paul was always concerned about his brethren and his churches, and it was amazing. He was always states how he's thinking about them, praying for them. They're always in their prayers. In verse 17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." And the first one I want to count on, and he gives us three things. Number one, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. This is something that the Holy Spirit helps us understand. Without this, we would have very little appreciation for this. First of all, let's just notice for the first thing, his calling. His calling is something that is unique to us. This is something that most people don't understand fully, and we often quote, as we have in the past, John 6:44, where it says, "No man can come to me unless the Father calls him." So it's the first thing is there's a distinct calling that God gives us. And that's something that we can only understand fully because of the Holy Spirit. It helps us to appreciate that calling, really what it means. And so what is the hope of that calling? Well, simply that there is a purpose for every one of us. There is a purpose for all of us. For those who believe in evolution, really there's very little hope in that message. The greatest minds of this world have really become, in many cases and in most cases, become very miserable because when they have actually gone down the path of reasoning that there is no God, that God doesn't exist, and there is no purpose, they come to like, well, what is the purpose of mankind? And they can come up with very little answers. And in the end, there is no hope. They have no hope, and many of them have, there's examples of people, some of the greatest minds in the world have committed suicide. They've come to the end like, well, there's no reason for us to be here. There's no hope. There's a lot of philosophies in the world that have that. They may have some, you know, values or attributes they put around those philosophies that help them get through life in a reasonable way. But at the end of the day, we have hope. We have hope of our calling. And it reminds me of 1 Thessalonians 4:13. It says, even when someone dies, we should not have sorrow as others who have no hope. This hope is part of our calling. It's what differentiates us from other people. We have hope. We can go through this, our lives, and understand why we're here, why we're on earth. What is God doing? What is his purpose? We have that understanding. And he does have a purpose for mankind, and he is setting up a kingdom that will be here on earth, and he has a purpose for everything he's doing around that kingdom. So the Spirit helps us understand what the hope of our calling is. Number two, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? There's a lot right there. I'm not sure I'll do this justice because actually there's a lot there, but we may not even fully understand it even if we go through it a lot, because I think we won't fully understand this till the day we actually turn into spirit being and see God as he is. But God is going to glorify, let's start what we do know, God is going to glorify Jesus Christ fully and greatly, and with the riches of that glory is described in Revelation, Hebrews, and Isaiah, and all through the Bible, that glory, how Christ is going to be glorified by God the Father throughout there, the whole Bible. And that's at his inheritance. What's amazing, though, is that all of us that are called sons of God are part of that inheritance, the same inheritance in a way that Christ is. And if you want to turn to Hebrews 2, verse 10, we have an amazing scripture here. Really, when you really understand what this is, it's actually quite amazing what God is holding out for us and for the sons of God. Hebrews 2, verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. So he's bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, for both he who is sanctified and those who are being sanctified are all of one. You know, we're all one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you, and again I will put my trust in him, and again here am I and the children whom God has given me. God's inheritance who God has given me. So we see here that Christ has his inheritance, he'll have his glory, but all of us in a way are included in that same inheritance. And we're called sons of God, and we're called one with Christ, called brethren with Christ. So in ways so when we say we're brothers, you know, Christ is our older brother, it literally means he's our older brother, and the inheritance that Christ and the glory that Christ has, we can also share in a similar way, and we're called sons of God. The Spirit helps us understand that and fully appreciate that. Something we don't understand fully unless we do have the Holy Spirit. And I don't think we will fully understand it until that day does come where everybody is, Christ is fully glorified, and then we get to partake in that. So moving on, and next part of the verse, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? So the Holy Spirit helps us understand what the power of God is and how it works in us. I think we all understand to some degree the greatness of God and the power. We understand that there's healing, there's protection, and there's blessings. But I think it's more than that. As we get more mature and as Christians, we realize that's just the beginning of God's power. And when I'm reminded of Philippians 4:13, where Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that starts to give us the idea that, you know, it's more than just being blessed and protected or healed. What's really happening is, you know, as Paul, as he realized he was not being healed of an affliction for one reason or another, that he actually had power that came from God that allowed him to be strengthened to do the work. And it's an amazing power that's going on in our lives when God takes, you know, what really starts as a corruptible body and ultimately makes it incorruptible. He's taking what you might say the most basic piece of clay and molding it until it becomes perfect in his eyes, and then it's done. That's the power we're talking about. That only God can make that happen. We can't do anything to become to the point where God wants us to be in the image of Christ. That's the power we're talking about. Yes, there's the power of protection and safety and healings, but it's really God's power that ultimately gets us from where we are today or started out to ultimately where he wants us to be at. And the Holy Spirit helps us understand that, and the Holy Spirit is actually a part of that. And Philippians 3:21, Paul also said, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control. And that's what we often think about. Okay, the earth's in control, and God can protect and intervene in our lives and do miracles. But the real power is that it will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. And that's the power that really is amazing when we think about it, how he's getting us from here to be like his glorious body. And that's the power and his greatness that we can appreciate through the Holy Spirit. So God has given us his Spirit to us. It is a gift. It is a helper. It's also called a comforter. It gives us understanding of the wisdom and the revelations of the knowledge of God. And without this gift, we would not understand the wisdom of God. It gives us hope of the incredible calling and inheritance that is accomplished through God's power.